your knock, shake them off, duck. Everybody, you're gonna take them again. You are your foe, your friend.
Welcome back to the program, and it is my great pleasure to introduce someone I've been wanting to have on EcoTalk for, so long. And we would be remiss if we didn't have him on soon. We're not sure what the future of EcoTalk holds, but Paul Ehrlich has been talking about what the future might hold for us for about 40 years and generating controversy all the way through it. That's why we love him. He's a professor at Stanford University. He has been known, as I mentioned, for about four decades for something that is still somewhat taboo today, and that's population, and in particular, its effects on our environment. Even when the environment was still a fringe consideration for most Americans until very recently, you, Professor Ehrlich, were taking positions within the environmental community that were considered controversial. As someone who has always been something of an outsider, how do you rate the eco movement's progress, not only over the last generation, but over the last year or two, as we have had a sort of a revival of interest in environmentalism? And welcome to the program, by the way.
Nice to be here. I would say that we made a lot of progress through the early 70s. Then we got to the Reagan administration and started to move backwards. Then we got to the Clinton administration and went on hold. Then we got to the Bush administration, and now we've moved worse than backwards, both in science and in the community. Let me say, by the way, I am an outsider from the point of view of the media. I'm an insider from the point of view of science. Scientists don't care what Jerry Falwell or Limbaugh or Coulter say. They care about what other scientists say, and I have had and continue to have the full support of the scientific community, so I don't worry a bit about being an outsider as long as I'm an insider to my colleagues.
Well, we won't be hearing from Jerry Falwell anymore, for better or worse. Back to something that we can do something about, and that is what's happening with our environment. Just in my producer's search of the internet, he turned up some 97 links to articles, mostly editorials, that cite your work and your positions, particularly on population policy. Can you give us your position on population, its impact on the environment, and if it has changed over the last four decades, how so?
Let's put it this way. How I would discuss it has changed, but I am fully supportive of the 1993 report by essentially all the academies of science in the world, which said it's a horrendous problem. To give you an example, in the population bomb, I wrote about the possible problems with global warming. At that time, we had 3.5 billion people. Three and a half billion people in the world, and a couple hundred million in the United States. Now we have 6.5 billion people in the world. We're still trying to burn more and more fossil fuels each year, and climate change has turned out to be a very, very serious problem already. Sooner, in fact, than I expected it to be when I was writing in 1968, because at that time, the scientific community hadn't discovered the roughly half of the greenhouse forcing that wasn't caused by CO2. We knew all about CO2, but we didn't know about methane and the nitrogen oxides and the chlorofluorocarbons and so on. So things have been getting steadily worse, and the world community is basically still not paying remotely the attention to population, consumption, and the use of faulty technologies, the three big factors that are ruining our life support systems. And in fact, all of my research has turned away from doing more science because the scientific community knows what's going on and has turned to cultural evolution, trying to figure out how, in God's name, we get people like George Bush in charge of the world when the system is cracking up. And I wish I could tell you.
So are you kind of saying I told you so to those who called you Chicken Little?
No, I'm not saying I told you so. First of all, my colleagues have always been totally supportive. And the ones who say Chicken Little, who cares? I mean, I just don't, it's like today, the Congress actually had Michael Creighton come, a novelist, and testify
Creighton,
on global
like
warming. Who cares? I mean, what he thinks.
Science fiction.
I'm sure he wouldn't care what I thought about brain surgery. You have all sorts of idiots running around saying nonsense, and who's got the time to try and counter them?
And yet they're saying, global warming, they said the same thing when we were having global cooling. I mean, there's still people out there on, national television and radio saying this is a hoax.
Look, the scientific community never has certainty. There was a time, in fact, at the time I wrote the population bomb, when it wasn't clear whether warming or cooling were likely to overwhelm. We knew that if you add a lot of crap to the atmosphere, you're going to change the climate. When you change the climate, you're going to impact agriculture, which is our most serious single occupation. And over the decade or so that followed, the scientific community did the work to show that in all probability, the vast majority of the change is going to be towards heating, and that has become more and more solid. If it's a conspiracy or a hoax, then it's the best hoax ever run because, you know, scientists make profit by showing that other scientists are wrong. And so when the scientific community moves towards a consensus, it doesn't mean it's right, but it certainly means it's not a hoax. You couldn't get all the members of my department, all friends of mine, to agree to a hoax of any kind. It just can't be done. Anybody who knows, it doesn't have to be scientists. You know, every time they say that 9/11 was a hoax pulled off by the Mossad or by the CIA, I think, you know, what hoax in the history of the world has ever had so many people involved and keep their mouths shut? I mean, it's just silly.
I agree. I used to get asked, you know, when I'd speak to the Jewish community, you know, is there a bias against Israel? Isn't there a conspiracy in the media? I said, are you kidding? We can't even decide what time, you know, everyone should go to lunch, let alone come together on, you know, conspiracies like that.
I'm very slow. I mean, you know, there may have been some conspiracies pulled off in the past, but it wasn't by 5,000 people at once, you know. Three conspirators might manage to do it, even 10, but hundreds, forget it.
Okay, so speaking of numbers, we're going to talk when we come back from the news break, actually the news break, about population and sustainability, and if that is the problem, population and consumption leading us towards the cliff, what do we do about it? And we're speaking with someone who actually has given a lot of thought to that. He certainly has had time. Paul Ehrlich, speaking on issues of concern to all Americans for about 4 decades. Paul Ehrlich is a professor at Stanford University, also with the Center for Conservation Biology. Stay with us. We'll continue our conversation in just a few minutes.